He taught me, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
To infinity and beyond!
No crying! There's no crying in baseball!
My precious!
Good morning, Vietnam!
Your milkshake!
This is Sparta!
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Welcome to Know Your Cinema.
Welcome back to Know Your Cinema podcast. My name is Devlin Clemens, and as always with me is the one and only TikTok famous Jason Quinn. And boy, do we have a surprise for you. We have a very, very special guest on Know Your Cinema podcast this week. He is the OG of this podcast, the Maharaja of the mundane, the one and only Vivin Matthew.
Hey guys, long time no see. How are you guys?
Oh, we are good. We are fantastic. It is good to have you back on your baby, so to speak, your podcast, back home where you belong with Know Your Cinema. And we thank you for coming back on, taking time out of your day and your wife and your lovely kids to review Frozen. And the reason why we brought Vivin back is because Frozen was originally on, I believe, the original wheel we did when we first started this podcast. And it has been going on for over 70 episodes on the wheel. And it got picked last week. And we said immediately following the episode, we need to have Vivin on here for this review. So thank you, Vivin, again, for coming on.
Thank you for having me back on. And can I say your hostmanship, is that a word, has gone through the roof?
I try.
This feels like a real radio program.
I feel very inadequate. No, I just try to be a little bit more enthusiastic and upplay the game show host type bit. But I'm still vulgar, so that counts, right?
Yeah. I'm like still keeping the spice there. Okay, I got it. I like that.
I'm like a very vulgar Hugh Downs.
I don't get the reference, but okay.
Way over yet. No one would get that reference. Hugh Downs was like, he was like the host of like Concentration.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Was that explanation?
That's exactly how hard that landed right there.
Yeah, it didn't go anywhere. Well, I didn't want to like shit on like Alex Trebek and like Pat Sajak. Oh, you know.
Gotcha.
Figured I'd just bring someone out of the woodwork that no one knew who I was talking about.
I mean, just your showmanship. I thought you were gunning for Trebek's position.
No.
Okay.
No. I don't like Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, all right. Well, that gig's gone. Continue. Yeah.
Right. Jason, anything new in Jason's world before we get into this movie review?
No, but it's going to really stress me out as a nerd before if I don't correct the fact that you said I don't like Wheel of Fortune and Alex Trebek hosted Jeopardy. I'm sorry. I just can't. I can't do it. I can't. I tried to get past.
He said Pat Sajak. He didn't say Alex Trebek. He said
no,
Pat
you
Sajak.
You did. I swear to God, I heard Alex Trebek. But I did.
I said I'm not trying to put out there. I'm like Alex Trebek or Pat Sajak. And then Vivin said, you're gunning for Pat Sajak's job. And I said, well, I don't even like Wheel of Fortune.
Okay. Well, that's not what I heard. And let the record show one of us is stupid.
That's not so, what I said.
Did you say Trebek?
Vince? It's Trebek.
Okay. I'm gonna
get on the playback when I edit this, and I'm going to prove it to you assholes that he said Pat Sajak.
And when you get to that portion in the edit, you can just send us a text saying, apologizing.
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Say that I'm right. Okay. Anywho,
are you still happy to have me back?
Frozen, that's what we're here for.
Yes, that's what we're here
for. So I guess since this has been my movie for 75 episodes, I guess I'll start us off with the review. Um,
Good start.
I don't know what to think about this movie. Like,
so far, so good.
I felt like there was a lot of musical in half of the movie, and then in the other half of the movie was not a musical. I felt like they made half a movie and then they made a whole movie and then didn't like half of it, and they just cut in the middle of the movie and then just made a whole other ending to the movie. Like, it just seemed off as far as how the pace of everything went. I'm not a huge fan of musicals, number one, and animation. So this already had two strikes on it. But as far as the story goes, the story was really intriguing as to where it was going in parts, because you just kind of didn't know. I mean, we always know there's going to be a happy ending most of the time, but you just didn't know what the swerve in the movie was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You've kind of leaned to where it was going, but I mean, it didn't really like give it away. The animation, again, for some reason, the studios just never really draw humans very well. They always have like little legs and big bodies and tiny heads and big noses. And I don't know. I wasn't a fan of like the human aspect of the animation, but some of the other animation was really good in this film. The beginning part with like the saws and the water, that was really cool. That caught my eye at the beginning. Yeah. The characters, there's a wide array of characters in this movie. It's not just it's just not like one flavor for, you know, there's different flavors for each people in this movie as far as characters go. You can attach yourself to whomever, and they even bring in characters in the latter part of the movie that you kind of you attach on to as well, like Olaf. I mean, it's a great kids movie. If you know, if I had kids, I would, you know, kids could watch this and be awesome for them. So, you know, I try to not let personal preferences go into the whole mindset of this, but it was a really like fun kids movie, and I tried to put myself in that mindset. Is like, if I was a kid and I was watching this, would it be cool? I'm not a real fan of the big fan of like the singing every like 2 minutes. I wasn't a real big fan of that. I thought that there could be a lot more dialogue in there and then have singing, but there was just like, it was like song after song after song, and then like in the middle it just stopped, and then it was all dialogue. So I mean, I think I preferred the latter half of the movie to the beginning of the movie, but you need the whole thing encompassed to tell a good story. So it was all there. I mean, again, like I said, I can't really crap on this movie because it was actually good in a certain way. But again, it had this feel as a whole with the movie. It felt like it was, you know, spliced in half, and we had almost felt like a different story at the end. It was really odd just how the pacing of the movie went.
Can you elaborate a little bit on pacing of the movie? So you like the pacing of the second half of the film compared to the first half, correct?
Yeah, I think that the second half of the film, there was a lot of action, but it seemed to slow down a lot more. In the beginning of the movie, it just felt like we're building characters real quick. We're fast forwarding like when, you know, we're getting like this montage of when she was a kid. So it's all story building, like right in the beginning, and then we're building characters. And then at the end, we're kind of in the middle, we're kind of getting to the meat and potatoes of the story, so to speak. And I get that when it's a brand new movie, you've got to introduce those characters. But I felt like some of the parts in the beginning were kind of unnecessary. I mean, you could have really just went through that and got more out of the beginning of the movie. But also I felt like there was a lot more music in the beginning of the movie, so they were trying to hit those as well, hit those parts of the movie.
I think the music in the beginning of the movie versus not so much in the latter half of the movie is deliberate. I think that it's supposed to show the evolution of her character. because in the beginning of this movie, we're getting a typical Disney princess. And then in the end of the film, we don't get a princess or a queen that's remotely like what you could have typically expected out of Disney in the years prior to this movie. Let's Tangled aside, there's a little bit of influence in that from this, or in Tangled, a little influence of Tangled in this, but I think that it's partially deliberate and is meant to show character growth.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, and definitely interesting that you bring up Tangled,
because I think that it's. Well, yeah, because I mean, she's in this. Like, Rapunzel's in this movie. She just has a little cameo role, but she's in the movie. Her and Finn are both in the movie when she's getting the, what's it called? Is it inauguration? Is that
The coronation?
Coronation. Yeah. When all the people are flooding to her coronation, Finn and Rapunzel are in the crowd.
Oh, okay.
Nice. They're from neighboring cities or whatever, apparently. Another fun fact about this film is, according to the people that directed both of the movies that I'm getting ready to talk about, Elsa and Anna's parents, when they went on that boat, they actually crash into the jungle and become Tarzan's parents.
So now that's a connected universe.
Yeah, so
that's take that, MCU.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's their universe too, so whatever.
take my body.
Take that, the rest of your company.
Take that, rest of your company. Take that, shareholders.
But I honestly do believe that they fully intended on creating this movie and having a lot of that typical Disney feel in the beginning of the movie to draw us in as the audience and to show the naivety of the characters that we were getting presented to us. And then as the story goes on, we get a little bit more of a serious tone with the story. And I mean, it ends with, I can't remember a Disney princess movie where the fucking villain was like, I'm gonna murder you, like straight up, like it's usually just like, oh, you know, off with the beast, whatever kind of thing. But like, Hans is pretty fucking brutal. Like, he is, he literally says like, I'm gonna leave you here to die and I'm gonna go kill Elsa. Like, that's the fucking,
yeah,
crazy thing to put into context there. And so I think that this movie starts out off as just like a little silly Disney movie. And then as we go on, we get a more rich and more thought out and deeper storyline than that we would have gotten from a typical Disney movie in the past.
And that's definitely what Devlin is responding to, that second half. I mean, we know his stance on the traditional, both animated movies and Disney movies. And this clearly is it's like, you could almost say it's like a reimagining of the Disney storyline. Like, it'll take the tropes that are in Disney.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with the Disney type of storytelling, it'll take those ideas and start to flip them around. Mm-hmm. Not in the sense that if you've seen older Disney films that you would be aggravated by it, it's still honoring the tradition, but saying, well, let's update it in certain ways where you go, yeah, you know what? That's kind of outdated. Let's put a new spin on those things. So I definitely found that interesting.
Yeah, I mean, even particularly in the ending.
Especially the ending, yeah.
You know, like, because, you know, true love and an act of true love has been a big part of Disney in the past. That has been one of the number one things that they have always gone back to. And it even continues on into like shows like Once Upon a Time, which is based on like all the Disney universe.
Yeah.
That idea of an act of true love has been just a staple, and it's usually some rando dude who, you know, happens to have fallen in love with her in that 35 fucking minutes of the beginning half of the movie, who then saves her from the problem she reaches in the middle. Well, that random dude is actually ends up being the villain. So you kind of get that turned on its head there. Mm-hmm. So he's no longer this person who, you know, it's basically showing like, hey, you are, doesn't mean that you should marry that dude or go to another location with him. Like, it's very much like, hey, be aware that just because somebody seems nice on the surface, it's not necessarily that case. There could be an alternative motive that could be a much more sinister thing. And then that act of true love then gets turned on its head too, because we've erased what we thought was going to be that act of true love in Hans. And then again, once that happens, then we're like, oh, well, it's fucking Kristoff, because we knew that Kristoff was the act of true love. Right. So we're like, oh, well, Kristoff is going to do, he's going to kiss her. And then that's all, that's going to fix everything.
Yeah.
So then that's the audience is now in on it. Like, she has this one idea, and then we have this completely other idea that we are going, we know that this is how it's going to pan out. But then when it doesn't pan out that way, and we get the true love with the sisterly love as being the actual act of true love, that's a huge step forward in for Disney. To me, that's one of the most progressive things that they've done in years. Like, I think Tangled was great because they made her a strong princess, but to me, stepping away from all of those old tropes of like, you know, you can fall, because she still falls in love with Flynn over the course of fucking 2 days and they get married. You know what I'm saying? True. So like, I just watched Tangled. So I know that that's the case. So like, it's still like a random little, actually, it's not even the course of 2 days. Like, it's literally her birthday. She fucking meets him in the morning and she's in love with him at night. So it's not like that's some bullshit, but like, that's not what we get out of this adventure at all. Because even at the end, when Kristoff and her finally share that kiss, that we, you know, that payoff moment, it's very much an awkward first date kind of a kiss. It doesn't seem to me like, oh, well, there's wedding bells in the future. And if you know that this, the continued story in Frozen 2, you know that that is very much just a, it's the beginning of their relationship. It's not just a happily ever after. And to me, I think that that is a huge step forward in showing young girls a realistic relationship and how, like, you know, it's not just, you know, sunshine and rainbows, and that there are actual struggles that you go through, and not only young girls but young children of all ages that are going to see these movies and see like that there's real shit that happens in between, you know, first, you know, meeting somebody and happily. So sorry, I ranted for like 45 minutes.
No, it's on point. And I think you kind of encapsulate all the things that works about the movie. And I don't think Disney was as intentional or foresaw all the consequences of what they were doing. It's like they almost stumbled into the success. I don't think they knew exactly what they had in their hands when they released Frozen and the global phenomenon it was turned out to be. But it is like one of those, like, it was right time, right place. They had the right actors for it. I mean, we'll talk about the voice acting in this movie. The storyline, like, it had come to that place where they had gone, you know, we need to do something different, just enough different that it does not push aside the people who are used to Disney movies. It brings them along for the journey, and also brings this whole new generation of people. And I think this is the first kind of big hit since the Disney Renaissance of the late 80s and early 90s. That was like a real big, big smash Disney hit. And I've witnessed this both with obviously my daughter and my nephew. And it's such a interesting thing to watch kids watch Frozen. Like, that is my experience of Frozen more than my own viewing of the film, is how much they are captured by these films. I mean, especially the first one. There's something about this film that hits all the, I mean, pardon the pun, hits all the right notes.
Oh yeah, like, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, we even went to go see the damn thing on ice.
Mm.
And even while we're watching them do the little skit, not to knock it, it was a nice little thing that they did. But my kids are fucking glued, like they're were in the little seats, you know, a couple rolls back from the thing, and they're sitting on the railing, like leaning forward, like it's a fucking concert. Like they're like they're full on getting ready to watch, you know,
oh, yeah.
21 Pilots about to come out, but it's Anna and Elsa, and it's even a bigger deal because these are. I mean, 21 Pilots is nothing compared to fucking Anna and Elsa. You know what I mean?
Don't tell Devlin that. He's a big 21 Pilots fan. Oh, yeah. Audience, if you could just see Devlin's face right now.
That's a no.
The eye rolls that we're getting.
Don't roll that much. You might lose your eye sockets.
So... fun facts about this movie. This movie was actually in development for like 16 years. So it originally, and Elsa originally was just going to be the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And then they hired, I cannot remember the people's names, but they hired the people that wrote Let It Go to write a song for her character. And then instead of going the traditional villain route.
Oh, you mean literally the songwriters?
Yeah, the songwriters they hired to write Let It Go, they decided to go in a different direction than writing a random villain song, and they wrote Let It Go. And then the studio liked Let It Go so much that they reworked the entire movie around that song.
Well, all right. I mean, so that's good foresight. Okay,
a huge pivotal moment.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, because at the end of the day, if you look at the amount, I mean, they've made billions off of fucking Let It Go.
If Man, that like song is, yes, it is both at times because they play it so much. Like my daughter has one of those, what is it? That's the microphones that you can just press the button and start playing Let It Go. Oh, there are days. There are days when you hear that song so much.
Well,
God bless
it.
But
when it first came out, I was like, man, this is a fucking great song. Like, it hit a lot differently than songs of like Disney's past, like, because it really was like, it was something. Mm-hmm. And then you know, you got to see Idina Menzel go on like fucking different shows and stuff with like, what the hell is that? What's the dude that breaks character like it's his fucking job?
You mean from SNL?
Jimmy Fallon.
I mean, that's his whole thing, right?
Yeah, it's just what he does. So that guy, like, he went on Jimmy Fallon, and they did, like, it was Idina Menzel and the Roots, and they did, like, a kindergarten instrument.
Oh, yeah, song. Yeah, yeah.
And that was a fucking smash hit. Like, I'm pretty sure that shit charted on fucking iTunes. So, like, it was huge. It wasn't just a phenomenon among kids, because... like, I remember when this first came out, it hit me different because my kids were young enough to where they didn't really give a shit yet. So for me, I was like, damn, they made a movie here. Like, they really did something with this one. And so to me, I loved it. And then me loving it, I showed it to the kids a couple of times because I watched it like 3 or 4 times when it first came out. Because I was like, I've always been a lifelong Disney fan. So for them to take everything that was Disney and change it around and make it something creative and new, I was impressed. I was like, man, they actually still have it in them. They've still got that creative juice that they used to fucking have. So
took about 20 years, but yes, they got it back.
Yeah, like fucking Disney's still here. You know what I mean? Like they're still making hits.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a big deal. And then as a result of me loving it, then the kids started loving it. And now I'm tired of it. My kids have this little karaoke machine thing, and it's on the tablets, and my daughter, for the longest time, she would sing Let It Go
Yeah.
But she only knew three words. She knew three words and that was it. And so all I heard was let it go, let it go, let it go. There was no tune to it. You know what I mean? It was just different octaves of let it go. And, you know, you heard it in your sleep and it was like a fucking, it was like an alarm clock in there. You know what I mean? Like you could never really rest. There was no rest. There was no sleep. Me, I understand. Like that song is both incredible and then it is paralyzing in the same.
Yes. I will add one other thing. The amount of times that I've listened to Let It Go, I should know every syllable, every word of those lyrics, but I think I'm right there with your daughter. All I really can say is let it go in really different octaves. That's me as well.
On the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen.
If Ari ever asks for that song to be sung, I'm just going to speed dial you.
Yeah, I got you, bro.
Just a live rendition. I can't get Manziel, but I got I got Jason for you.
I got Jason for you. As close as you're gonna get.
It's close. I know you don't know what.
If you look at him from a distance, he almost looks like Eric. If you squint real hard.
If you squint real hard. And unlike Manziel, he's actually a TikTok star. So there you go. I know you don't know what TikTok is, but that's okay.
Eat your heart out, Adina Manziel.
That's right. You still got a ways to go. Oh, yeah, yeah. Good stuff.
But I don't know. Like, there's something to be said about that storyline. But again, I think a lot of the success is also courtesy of Olaf. I got to say that character crushes.
Crushes. One of the best. Can we call that a side character? Is that what they have a name for those types of characters, right? Because every Disney movie has them.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he's just a side character, but he's a franchise in his own right at this point. He's got like three fucking side movies or whatever. But that dude if for any adult that was unsure about Frozen, Olaf brought you along the way. You know what I mean? He kept you entertained when there was nothing else to, when you were like, I can't stand it. There was Olaf.
Yes, Olaf. He's still fresh, no matter how many times I've had to hear and see the movie as I'm passing by the hallway or trying to do my work. Olaf always makes it work.
Absolutely. Oh, anything else either of you want to say before we move into the next segment or the favorite scenes and such?
Devlin? I know you might be itching to say a lot more about Frozen. Do you have more things to say about Frozen?
I mean, I don't want people to get the wrong idea and think that like I'm taking a powder here and I'm just not talking about the movie. I've not seen it or heard it as many times as you guys have. So I'm just going off of my initial review of watching it and being able to give my initial review of it. So, I can't really I can't chime in with facts. I did read that this story was based off of a Hans Christian Andersen story called I think it was the Snow Queen or something.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Now that story, they've been trying to work since I think the 1940s, like the Walt Disney, like the actual Walt Disney was involved in that process, but they could never crack the story. Then they retried in the 90s during the golden age or the Renaissance. They still couldn't figure it out. So it took all that time before they finally kind of came up with an idea that could. I think the key was the Snow Queen. They had to kind of reimagine. And I think Let It Go was the key, literally the puzzle piece that they had to kind of bring to solve. If you're looking at the story as a puzzle, it brought it all together.
Yeah, because I think without that song and without the rework, we probably would have got a very mediocre, basic-ass movie.
Right.
not Kristen Stewart's fault. or not Kristen Stewart, Kristen Bell's fault, because Kristen Bell is nominal in everything she does. But
I think she's cast, she's like, that role is perfect for her. Like, she has just enough improv type of skill set to make that type of character come alive, because there's a spontaneity to that character that you need to have Kristen Bell's kind of skills to kind of bring to that role.
Have you seen her do Do You Want to Build a Snowman Live?
No, I have not.
It is worth watching.
Okay.
Because I didn't realize that she's all three versions of the character.
Oh, wait.
So all of it, like her as a little kid, and then the teenager, and then the adult version of her, it's all her.
I did not know that either.
So the whole voices are just Kristen Bell. So like when I first saw that for the first time, I was like, what the fuck? Like, no shit. Like, she really pulled that off.
So, you know, Dax Shepard is her husband, right? So he has a podcast. I think it's called The Armchair something. The Armchair Expert, something like that. Anyway, Kristen Bell was like one of the first guests on his podcast, obviously. Yeah. And one of the fun facts I found out was she's really, really good at mimicking other people. Like, thing that she did from a young age was she would watch shows and literally mouth everything, as far as kind of recreating the voices. So that is a skill set that she's always had. So I can see why she was able to do all three different types of voices for the like three different age levels.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Dina did not do that. I'm pretty sure she's just adult Elsa. I think she's too classically trained to be able to do anything other than right where she's at.
Yeah, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it in any way, shape, or form. I mean, she's great at what she does.
We're not going to compare her to you. That's different class. Yeah, no. You know. But besides that. Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I'm eating up so much airspace. All right, Devlin, go ahead.
Favorite scenes?
I'll go first. It's the for me, it's the last one. It's the twist at the end, especially the first time you see it. It's like I thought about this, Jason, when you were talking about the movie. It's like a mystery story where at the end you think it was this one. You know, you think this is how it's ending, and then you have that twist, and you never think of it in that terms because it's a Disney movie, but it really is that, because you're led to believe based on previous movie watching experience of how that story is going to end. And that twist is so satisfying because of that. And the twist makes all the sense in the world. It's not like, oh, well, that was strange. No, it's like, oh, that actually makes perfect sense. Why have we not thought about that before as the real version of true love?
Yeah, it almost makes you rethink most of like the past films, like Sleeping Beauty, for instance. Like, I'm pretty sure her dad was still around. You know what I mean? If it was all it required was an act of true love to bring her out of the sleep. So, you know, why didn't he fucking do that? But, Viv or Dev, your favorite scene?
I think my favorite scene is the scene when, God, I can't remember the character's name to save my life here.
Christoph?
Is it Christoph?
The main dude?
Yeah, main dude, Christoph, and Sven are sleeping in that little hut. And she comes in and basically buys all the stuff and, you know, gets a ride and that initial chase scene. I don't know. I think I laughed more at that scene than I did any other. Just like the interaction between him and Sven, and I thought that it was just a funny scene. And the chase scene was really, really kind of funny as well. There were some really good lines in there when they were he was, you know, trying to say that she couldn't do this and couldn't do that, and then she was trying to help, and he's like, no, don't help. And I don't know. I thought it was a really funny scene.
I think the whole Oaken's Trading Post thing is good. Like, I think Oaken, which is the character that runs the little shop, I think he's fantastic too. Like, I love his little fucking Swedish like accent thing that he's got going on there, and he's such a huge brute of a man, but he speaks like with this just little tiny voice and stuff. And I think that's fantastic.
Jason, what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene. There's so many great scenes in this movie, so it's kind of difficult to pick one. But I'm going to use the other one as just my favorite line in this movie. So I'm going to go ahead and join Vivin on that ending, because if you're watching this for the first time and you get to experience that ending, I know it just was like a mind-blowing kind of ending, even though it's just, it's duh, but at the same time, it's like, because it was a duh ending and it was something that my brain couldn't get to, it was such a mind-blowing thing, because I was, you know, it's just like, it's normal. It's like, yeah, that's obviously an act of true love, like parents and siblings. And there's more than just, you know, romantic relationships when it comes to love. But we never, our whole life, we've been, you know, trained through movies to believe that it can only be a random dude that you met that day. It could be an act of true love. You know what I'm saying? So.
That's awesome. When you put it that way, all of the older Disney movies is terrifying.
They really are. Like, if you think about it, like, in that terms, because it's not like I'm not wrong. Like, go back and watch almost all of the movies. They're terrifying. Like, I mean, even Beauty and the Beast, like, he's kidnapped. Like, she's a prisoner. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a romantic situation. She just falls in love with the dude that's holding her prisoner.
But in all fairness, she comes to accept it.
Isn't it Stockholm syndrome?
Yeah, no, it's just that. I mean, that's just dead ass what that is. There's nothing. It's not cute in any way. It's just terrifying. I mean, that's it. Gosh.
Can you imagine all the sociopaths who have grown up watching Disney movies and going, "Oh, that's normal.
That checks out. That makes sense. Okay. So you just do that."
So I'm not crazy. Okay, got it.
Yeah, it reminds me of like I just found out that they're not putting Pepe Le Pew in any other Looney Tunes cartoons from now on. And I had a brief discussion with Skyline today, and she's like, why not? Like, isn't that like the only love story? I said, nah. Like, she doesn't want anything to do with him. That's the closest thing to cartoon rape that ever existed. The Pepe Le Pew storyline is like, girl wants nothing to do with you, force yourself upon her. Like, that's it. Like, that's what all of the Pepe Le Pew storyline is. And if you think that I'm wrong, watch one. Watch any Pepe Le Pew thing.
You go back and go, oh my God.
You're like, oh, okay. Because I saw like this whole comment section of people are like, oh, what, Pepe Le Pew? I'm like, nah, dude, that's just rape cartoons. Like, that's all that is. There's nothing good about that. But I mean, it's like, you know what I mean, it's Revenge of the Nerds type shit. But only certain people will understand what I'm talking about.
Oh, I want to repeat a line that I just cannot.
You could, I know you couldn't. I saw it on your lips. I saw it right there. You were like, I'm about to say it, and I was like, no,
it's here. Not. It's here. I don't want you getting canceled from TikTok.
Right.
I don't want us to get canceled. Oh, but there's a line I want to say so bad.
Yeah. But yeah, again, it's definitely that ending for me. What's the next one? Favorite lines?
Quotes. Yep.
Wait, hold on. Did Devlin say his favorite?
He did.
Yeah. His favorite scene was the Oaken's Trading Post scene.
Oh, okay.
And the chase scene.
And the subsequent chase scene.
All right, good stuff.
There's a lot of good comedy in that chase scene.
Yes, there is.
And that's before the comedy relief shows up.
That is, yeah actually, that's true. All right, should I go again first?
Sure. You know what? Go right ahead.
Yeah, why not? Why don't I just hog the airspace here? Well, mine is easy. It's pretty much every other line from Olaf. There's a moment where, well, he gets impaled and he literally says, oh, look at that. I've been impaled. It's just the sunny disposition, the casualness, and just the full of life with how he approaches every situation that is just so funny, so good. And you just feel better when you kind of spend a little bit of time with Olaf.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a skull or bones.
So my favorite quote in this movie is, it's actually a Kristoff quote in response to something Olaf does.
Okay.
So Olaf sings the song about how he is excited to be a snowman in summer. And then the music breaks, and then Kristoff says, "I'm going to tell him." And then Anna says, "Don't you dare." Like that moment right there, I laughed harder there than I did in the entire rest of the movie.
Really?
Because it's just such a quick, sudden thing. It's like, put me in summer and I'll be a happy snowman. And then she's like, "I'm going to tell him." He's like, "Don't you dare."
That's such a real moment. How many couples have you seen have that discussion?
Right. Like literally 95% of the discussions I heard my grandparents had growing up was that discussion.
Right.
My grandma giving my grandfather a warning on some shit that she knew he was about to do and he should not do.
Yes. I can attest to this as well. Same experience. All right, Devlin.
So it's Olaf. This is the best line for me. And he says, "Hands down, this is the best day of my life. Starts melting, and quite possibly the last."
So good. Oh, so good.
I also love there's a line right after that where he talks about how like the act of true love is like Kristoff abandoning her and stuff. And then he goes over to the window, and that's funny in itself. And then he goes over the window and he sees Kristoff rusting back on Sven. And then he's like, "Oh, I guess he didn't love you as much as I thought." Like he's rushing back, and that's Olaf's answer. It's like, "Oh, I guess he fucking hates your ass." Like,
He's so good.
He's fantastic.
Thank you, Josh Gad. He was perfectly cast. Speaking of which, are we doing favorite performances?
That's where we're at right now.
Oh, okay. Guess what? I'm going to go first. And I'm going to give the crown to Josh Gad. Not that the rest of the players weren't good. They were all great. Of course, it's Frozen, so all of them are really good. But Josh Gad, man, with Olaf. That's a defining role right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I honestly feel like before this movie, he's a bit player. You know what I mean? Before this, he's just a guy. But now he's fucking Olaf. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
you know, it's a Harrison Ford is Han Solo type of role.
Jesus Christ, don't go that far. Jeez.
Are you fucking kidding me? Do you know how much money this movie fucking made as a single flip?
No, I get that. I'm just saying, you just compared Josh Gad to fucking Harrison Ford. Come on.
I didn't say that listen, what I'm saying is that Harrison Ford was defined by his role in two roles. He was actually probably one of the few actors that I feel like gets the ability to be an icon in two roles.
I guess it depends on the circles you go in. There are a few people who would put three, but two definitely. Star Wars and Indiana Jones for sure. I think those would be the top two.
I'm talking Blade Runner.
Okay, thank you. I thought you were going to go Star Wars and Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones, how can you take that off the list?
I was asking
if the third one was Blade Runner.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it is. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't even think he's the best part of that movie.
I think the villain is. Yeah. I mean, in my personal opinion, I think the villain's
the best part of Blade Runner.
That fucking quote at the end when he's
Jesus. And can you imagine that was all made up? I mean, that was on set. He just came up with it.
Yeah, no. Nobody tops that guy in that movie.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, Frozen. Who are you going with?
I personally think that I think Josh Gad is phenomenal in this movie.
He is.
But
what they say about but.
I love Kristen Bell. I love Kristen Bell so much. And I think that she just, I mean, I feel like she pulls this movie in certain ways along. I think that she's, if it wasn't for her doing such a great job as Anna and playing that naivety and all of that to the fucking T, I don't think that we would get the rest of this movie as being just quite as good. Plus, I think that her singing voice is phenomenal, especially in Do You Want to Build a Snowman, where she sings in three different generations in one fucking song.
Yeah, I will misquote this, but I think I remember her saying her unlocking the Anna character was during the recording sessions. At one point she happened to, like, there was a scene and she just happened to improv a line, and suddenly that was the entire, just like the song in the movie, where there was just that one moment that suddenly went, oh, this character now makes sense. And then you can see that it's in every scene where she tries to bring a spin to that character by kind of bringing her own voice to it. And it's very much a Kristen Bell performance, because you can really sense her personality in Anna's character.
It's always been, it's one of the things that irritates me most about this movie, is that if you ask any child, any child, who is the best part of this movie, it's never Anna. It's always Elsa, 150,000% of the time, or it's Olaf. And I'll give him Olaf. That's fair, 100%. But like, Anna never gets the credit that she deserves for being the fucking backbone carrying this movie. Elsa is on screen for a quarter of what Anna is. And so for me, I feel like it's BS that Kristen Stewart just gets the back shaft.
She has the iconic song, and it's a more kind of iconic type of character. It's just the powers and all of that. It's so attractive to the kids. So I it makes sense.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
Killer Frost is cool, but I don't know. I go a different route.
Fair is fair. Devlin. Wait, you already said yours, right? Did you?
No, I haven't. I'm going to give it to Olaf, but I do want to say that the way that, I know Sven didn't have any speaking lines, but there's speaking comedy, and then there's physical comedy, and I think that Sven had some really great moments of like physical comedy in the way he was animated and portrayed in this film, because I laughed with, before Olaf showed up, I was laughing at Sven. So I want to give a runner up, if I could, to Sven.
Okay.
But yeah, it's Olaf. I mean, he's a fucking show stealer. So
yes, he is. I think he would like Frozen too.
That's, yeah, absolutely. I think that's why that's why they give Olaf the prime case space too.
But I also think that it's also why I think I'm intrigued by Sven, is because the Ice Age movies, the squirrel is always the fucking funniest character in Ice Age to me. And he has no speaking lines.
Or the penguins in Madagascar? Uh-huh. Or the penguins in Madagascar, I guess.
He's never seen the Penguins of Madagascar.
No, I've not seen that.
Oh.
He would love the Penguins of Madagascar, though.
I think he would.
He would absolutely love them.
On the ratings, gentlemen.
Viv, you've gone first a couple of times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why not continue?
You know what I mean?
I mean, let me ask this question. Are we legally allowed to give any other score besides the score that is a 10?
No, because then you'd be saying this is your favorite movie of all time, and I know that's not true.
I can't break my daughter's heart and give anything less than a 10. I gotta give it a 10.
I know, like, I'll be at Arya's next birthday party. I'm going to be like, hey, and here you go. And just so you know, your dad thinks this movie sucks. Just like, I'll give it like.
He gave it a 9.75. I'm not sure what he was thinking that day.
Said it was ass. I don't know if you know that word or not. Might want to keep calling him that.
Yeah, you can call him that. All right, I'll give it a 10.
I'm going to hop on board with you on that one. I think it's a 10 for me.
All right, Devlin. Hi, buddy.
I'm not giving it a 10.
How's it going?
It's not
going
to happen. It's not going
to
happen.
Yeah,
He wants to.
I'm not giving it
a
10.
And I don't want to. I'm not giving it a 10. It's an 8. It's an 8 for me. I just
say, do I hear 8.75? 8.75.
No. This is not an auction, okay? No, I don't give. Look, I'll give my reasons why. I mean, this is, like I said, great kids movie. As an adult watching this film, if you put your kids in front of this, they're going to enjoy it. It doesn't matter. All kids are going to enjoy this movie.
This is
there's
going
to kid walk away that says that they don't. So, if you're an adult and you have young kids or you're about to have young kids, of course, let them watch this movie. They're going to love it. They're going to enjoy it. But as an adult reviewing this movie and watching it for the first time, mm-hmm. Like I said, the beginning part of the film really was like, I was like going to strangle Jason. Like, I was going to be like, this is what I had to fucking suffer through. Like, this fucking bullshit. And then the second half of this movie went through and it really saved it. It did. And again, there are parts of the animation that were really good and there are parts of the animation that were really bad. So that's really the reasons why the story is great. But that's really the reasons why I'm going to give it an 8.
I hear you.
I mean, I'm being fair.
I didn't realize the first half was that rough.
It was rough for me. It was really, really rough for me. It was. Whew. I was struggling.
Do you want to build a snowman? And he's like, I'm gonna fucking murder him. I'm gonna murder him.
One more time. Well, no, it was Let It Go. That was the song that was like, oh, just shut the fuck up. Like, I'm like, just shut up.
And what sucks about it is that you had to see this movie years after that movie, after it came out, because I think that if you experience Let It Go from the first time and you haven't heard it 150 times and it hasn't been made out to be this nuisance on society that people would, you know, like torture inmates with, it's absolutely a phenomenal song. And it is just such a pure expression.
I'm not saying it's well written and I'm not even saying it's a well sung. It's just, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. It just is. I guess I don't know. I mean, I'm sure like the music that I listen to is nails on the chalkboard to someone else, but to me, it's like, oh, I'm into that. It's apples and oranges.
The guy that wrote that song fucking egot it after because of that fucking tune, to be fair.
No, I'm not saying it's not successful. It didn't make money. And more power to anybody that can do that. I'm saying that to me, all personal preference, some people, we had this discussion last week. Some people love the Rolling Stones. I do not. Some people love the Frozen soundtrack. I'm not a fan. Just my personal preference.
What are your thoughts on 21 Pilots? I'm sorry.
I think that they're talented musicians, but I don't think that their songwriting is so great as much as everybody thinks that it is, and I don't think that their music is that great either. But I think they're talented because it takes talent to put that stuff together, and there's only two guys in the band. Super talented.
That's true. Can I
give honest opinions? I mean, we can sit here all day and I can give honest opinions about bands, but
that's fair. Can I say my favorite part of your response was watching Jason? that first like half a second as you went into your spiel,
yeah.
His face was everything.
Well, I had to start him off with the good and then hit him with the bad.
Oh, he was like ready.
Talented first, and that's that way it like eased him into it. And then, you know,
you did good, sir. You did good.
Give him the bad part, but that's Jason's personal preference too. Like, he loves Fall Out Boy. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you that Fall Out Boy, very talented musicians, made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Not my cup of tea. I don't think that they're that good. They tell stories, but I don't think the writing's that good.
The writing is arguably way better than Metallica, though.
What? I'm sorry. Say that again.
You can. They're arguably. Their writing, lyrical writing, is arguably way better than Metallica. Anybody that's listening, you can find me at Mr. Jason Quinn on TikTok. Please feel free to direct any hate messages my way.
I'll go Metallica post, post Reload album, but that's about it.
What year is Reload?
96.
Okay. I don't know if I've listened to that one.
Metallica is ass.
Yeah. But that's Frozen. Gentlemen, anything else you guys have to say about this wonderful children's film?
I fucking knew he was going to like it more than he thought. I fucking knew it. I fucking knew it.
Liking it, and I will never watch this film again. Liking it and reviewing it and giving an honest review are two different things.
He's got this copy. He's going to lay in his bed as soon as we're done here and watch Frozen again.
It's cute.
In his fucking Olaf PJs that he bought.
Let it go.
What's the next line?
Don't know. I just like using that joke. All right, yeah. Folks. Well, this comes to the end of segment one. Stay tuned for segment two of Know Your Cinema Podcast, the Get to Know Your Cinema section with our special host, Bivin Matthew. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening and supporting Know Your Cinema Podcast. If you like what you hear in this episode, please check out our vast library of over 60 episodes covering a wide variety of films from comedy, action, horror, and everything in between. You can listen to the show on Anchor, Spotify, and Google Podcast. Also, check out our social media platforms for fan polls and interaction with all the hosts of Know Your Cinema Podcast. Give us a like at Facebook at Know Your Cinema Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at KYC Podcast. And now, without any further ado, back to the show.
Hello and welcome back to Know Your Cinema. This is the Get to Know Your Cinema segment of our podcast where we do several things to help you get to know us, your host, a little bit better. First off, we're going to pose a question that the three of us will then answer, followed by a fun game of what did you decide to title this movie again?
Vaguely Describe a Movie.
Vaguely Describe a Movie, which is basically what happens. We vaguely describe a movie and the others try to guess said movie. Dev, do you have a question this week?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Vaguely Name That Film.
Vaguely Name That Film. Okay. You have a question this week, Viv?
Well, look, yeah, let's let Viv ask a question. He's the host. He's the guest host.
Ask any question in the world.
Any question at all.
Any question.
Like any question whatsoever.
Yeah.
100%.
What you have for breakfast?
Back pain.
I'll take this one. I have to start it off with two sausage McMuffins and a hash brown. A little bit of some ice cold Coke from McDonald's as well. Then capped it off with a large mocha iced coffee, double double from Tim Hortons, and a plain original donut. No glaze, no frosting.
Whoa.
I had lower back pain with a trip to the chiropractor. And then followed up by a session with the Shiatsu massage pillow. That's what I had for breakfast. That's legitimate. I didn't have anything for breakfast this morning.
I had two cups of coffee, and I had upper back pain, which is receding. It was more intense the day before, but I think after last night's sleep, it's getting better. I guess Jason's breakfast is for the win.
Yeah, Jason had that thick boy breakfast.
Yeah.
He went to two places.
I'm jealous.
I doubled down.
Whew. He went to two places and I mean I wish I'd have had Egg McMuffins, but no, I woke up and couldn't even put my feet on the floor, so I laid in bed for a couple hours. So it was fun. Yeah. So Vivin, you're new to this game. Are you ready to play Vaguely Name That Film?
I'm vaguely ready to play this game. So let's go.
I see what you did there.
It's those dad jokes. They're really coming into play here.
You need to work on that.
All right. I'm taking notes.
Okay. I'll go first. Let's see if you guys can get this one. A Korean-American office worker and his Indian-American friend venture out to find hamburgers.
Okay. Yeah. So, did they go to White Castle?
I can't tell you anything. You're supposed to guess the movie.
All right. Harold and Kumar go to White Castle.
They did go to White Castle.
They did go to White
ding, Castle. Ding, ding, ding. Vivid.
That burn this motherfucker down.
I figured Jason would be the first one to blurt it out, but
I got it. But I was given Viv a chance.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks, buddy.
He held back. Jason, what do you got?
Okay. Though being caught in a love triangle, girl looks like she smelled a fart for 100.
Twilight? I'm sorry. I should not let you finish the question.
I think you killed him. I think you killed Jason.
I'm sorry, Jason.
I think he's dead. His earphones came off. He's flushed in the face. I think he's going to pass out.
I think that description is now etched in my mind. Like, I can't get that image out of my head.
I you know what's funny is I didn't even go to Twilight. I immediately went to Friends, and I went to the episode where Joey's talking about he's in the soap opera, and he's like, the actress he's working with, she's like, yeah, and she taught me all about Smell the Fart Act. I immediately went there. I was like, I did the head turn.
Smell the fart. So good.
I cannot believe you got Twilight off of that. That's magic.
Viv.
Yes.
Vaguely describe a movie.
All right. A lonely dude cannot make many friends. So he forces millions to become his friend.
Ooh.
The Truman Show?
No.
Oh, The Social Network.
Yes.
Ooh, very nice. Very nice. Yeah, your turn.
A lifelong feud between two neighbors since childhood only gets worse when a female neighbor moves in across the street.
I know the answer to this as soon as you started. Viv, I'll give you a couple of seconds.
Repeat the prompt.
A lifelong feud between two neighbors since childhood only gets worse when a new female neighbor moves across the street.
Yeah, no, nothing. Not clicking. Jason, it looks like you got it.
It is Grumpy Old Men.
Nice. Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Man, I don't know. Have I seen that movie? I don't think so. Is that with
Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau?
Mm.
Absolutely. Watch it every Thanksgiving.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to put that on my list.
Thanksgiving, Christmas. It can be watched because it goes into both. So
Okay.
Phenomenal movie. Ooh. I don't know if Jason agrees.
It is a phenomenal movie. My turn, correct?
Yes.
This is actually just the description of this movie.
Okay. We can do that? Well, this makes it easy.
It's going to sound like I vaguely describe nonsense.
Oh, okay.
But you'll probably get it. So we'll give Devlin a couple seconds.
We'll see.
Parents are turned into pigs. She is forced to work in Japanese whorehouse. You got it.
Girl's parents are turned into pigs, and she is forced to work in a Japanese whorehouse.
It's described as a bathhouse in the movie.
Oh, is it Spirited Away?
It is Spirited Away.
Huh. Wow, that's a very interesting description. I don't know why I never thought of it that way. But yeah, no, okay.
I mean, that is literally just what happened to them.
Yeah. I guess I don't have the memories of... It's been a while since I've seen it. Okay, got it. Wow. Huh.
Every time... You cannot describe that film to another human being without sounding insane.
Yeah, that's an insane description.
There's no way. There's absolutely no way. I've tried it because I think it's a remarkable film, but you can't describe it to anybody without sounding like you're a crazy person for enjoying it. And I challenge anybody to come up with a description that doesn't make you sound insane. Viv?
All right. Let's see if this works. A young man grows up without his parents and goes on a journey to find him. Turns out he finds his father, but he is not who he expected him to be.
Star Wars?
Yes. Nice. I don't know if that was easy or hard. Yeah, but that's true. Pretty straightforward.
I mean, it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
Dev, your turn.
Give me 1 second. The dead speak. The galaxy has heard a mysterious broadcast, threat of revenge in the sinister voice of the late Emperor Palpatine.
I hate you. Are you talking about our greatest movie that we ever watched together?
I don't know. What am I talking about?
The one and only Episode 9.
Yes.
Well, what a phenomenal movie. Yes. What a phenomenal
movie. What gave it away?
What gave away that movie? I don't know. Just like the movie, how it gave away everything.
Did I give it away? Did I give the whole movie away in the first paragraph?
Oh, in the scroll? Yeah. JJ, what happened, JJ?
Any fans that want to go back and listen to that episode, it's in the archives. Please go back and listen to our review of Star Wars.
Probably one of my favorite episodes.
Oh,
so good.
Oh, so good. Jason.
Adult version of orphaned child becomes radio guest.
A what? A radio guest?
Yeah.
Radio guest.
Maybe abandoned child would be the better description, not orphaned. Second hint.
Yeah.
He also changes his name to a French sounding version of his original name.
This is a him or a her?
It is a him.
A French sounding. I don't know if that. I think that just complicated that more. You might need to throw more hints at this point.
He got the poo on him.
Joe Dirt?
I got the poo on me.
Good movie. I need to revisit. It's been too long. So wait, he got a French. I all right, I'll go back and watch it.
We need Alex on here to do the whole Christopher Walken bit.
He changes his name to Dirt.
Dirt, yeah. It's French.
That's awesome.
Dirt. That was a pretty good. That was a pretty good description there, and that stumped all of us. All right, Viv, you got another?
All right, let's try this one out. A group of coworkers do a job together, and it goes horribly wrong, like horribly wrong, and they can't quite figure out who is responsible.
Talking about Reservoir Dogs?
Yes. Nice.
Me and you think on the same wavelength sometimes.
Yes. Nice.
All right. Two strangers awaken in a room to play a game.
That's all.
Girl is not quite dumb as everybody thinks she is.
Legally Blonde?
It is Legally Blonde.
You know what's funny about that? I've only seen the trailer. I got that from the trailer.
It's actually like pretty decent. Like I really like Legally Blonde. I'm not going to lie to you.
Nice.
It's got one of my favorite quotes of all time in that movie that I use as often as possible, which is, "That makes you look like the 4th of July. Makes me want a hot dog real bad."
Oh, God.
I use that line as often as possible in my everyday life because nobody knows where it's from, for one.
Yes. Even better.
And for two, it almost never fits the perfect description of what you're trying to talk about.
Which makes it even better. Nice.
All right. Two best friends will be sent to prison for a crime they didn't commit. However, no prison cell could keep them locked in.
Is this that movie with Arnie and Stallone?
No.
No, okay.
Is it Harold and Kumar too?
No, but that would be a good guess. But no, it's not. I would have just said cock meat sandwich.
Oh, don't tell me they made you eat the cock meat sandwich.
Two friends G-Bay? Go to prison.
Oh no, G-Bay, the cock meat sandwich. Oh shit, it's Chaney. I got it, dude. Scares me.
Here's the shit out of me. This movie is phenomenal.
You're not. Neither one of you are gonna guess. I don't think either of you have seen this movie.
Well, give us another guess. Another hint. Jason might get it.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah.
Okay. Two guys are gonna go to prison.
So I'll give you the actual movie description. So it's set up and wrongfully accused two best friends will be sent to prison for a crime they didn't commit. However,
is it,
no could could keep them locked in.
Is it the horse racing one?
You mean no, not Logan Lucky. That's not it. No, that's not it.
The one with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. What the fuck is that movie called?
I don't know. No,
something crazy or something like that. Is that the one?
Yeah, it's Stir Crazy.
Stir Crazy. God, son of a bitch. I have seen that movie.
Nice.
It does have horse racing in it, doesn't it?
No, it's like a rodeo.
Okay. So I was on the, I was close.
It's got horses. In the ballpark. Or something like that.
Bulls.
Bulls. I was like, wait, okay. There's something wrong about what I said there. Bulls, got it.
I was in the ballpark.
It's animals.
Maybe you got another?
Yes. Okay. Let's try this one. There's a shootout. And there's so much glass.
We did this last week. That was my exact description. Only I made it drawn out more. I said Wild West Desperados or something. Avoid glass or some shit. Yeah. It's Young Guns, for the record.
That's right. That's funny. That is such a great scene.
This is your last one, I believe.
That was awesome.
Oh, I love this game.
This is more fun than I expected.
See?
We made some changes to the podcast.
That's right. It's like, hey, this could be fun. Okay, got it.
Is it who's it now? Jason?
It's you.
Oh, it's me. Five siblings are left all alone all summer when their mom leaves town and the evil babysitter bites the dust.
First off, that sounds like this is an 80s classic.
It is an 80s classic. For some reason, it's slipping my mind right now. I don't know why it's slipping my mind right now.
It's not an 80s classic. It is an early 90s classic.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Hold on. Give the description again.
Five siblings are left all alone after their babysitter dies.
Oh, that's new information. Bites the dust. You meant literally bites the dust. Okay.
What other description? Please tell me what else that could mean.
I thought he meant metaphorically, like, you know.
Like legit, like just reached out and like bites the dust on the mantle or something?
No. You know, you metaphorically use the phrase, oh yeah, he bit the dust. We left him behind. We were able to escape.
What is this, a Queen song? Right, what did you do?
All right, fine. Right, okay.
All right, Freddie Mercury.
I don't know if I'm any closer to the answer to this.
I got nothing.
Yeah, is this a classic? Is it supposed to be a classic?
It I mean, in some circles, it's considered a classic. Kevin Smith put it in his last Jay and Silent Bob movie. He put a reference to it in there.
Well, all right, Jason, that's all you.
It has a young David Duchovny in it.
This is not helping me in any way.
Okay. It's a Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
I've heard of that movie like once.
I don't think I've heard it once. Wow.
All right. My turn.
Okay.
Future Bunny befriends Sad Child.
Donnie Darko.
That's a good one. Thank you.
That was great. That was awesome. Oh, can I try one?
Yeah,
your turn. So that would be appropriate. Okay. It would be a very appropriate time for you to try one, as you say.
Well, in that case, all right. A man has a very boring job, so he decides to become a superhero.
I got two. Oddly enough, with that description, I came up with two movies.
Okay. I could change a word that could help it even better. Let me see what your...
My two movies are probably wrong. But the two movies that I came up with were The Secret Life of Walter Mitty and Fight Club.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, I know The Secret Life is of Walter Mitty. He's not really a superhero, but to an ordinary person, his life becomes somewhat superhero-esque in terms of like his ability to accomplish cool ass shit.
Okay, this can definitely give it away. And Fight Club is good. Fight Club is good. This will completely give it away. A man who hates his job and cannot find any meaning in his life turns out to be the savior.
You're not describing the movie.
Does Jesus hate being a carpenter that bad?
I guess you could go with that.
No, I have no idea.
Are you talking about the movie Super? With Rainn Wilson and Elliot Page?
I have not seen that one, no. I have not seen that one. Do I need
to... It's a decent movie. It's a very black comedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's in the same time frame as Fight Club as when it came out.
Okay, so man hates his job, can't find any meaning in it.
In fact, there's a slew of movies that came that year that kind of had the similar premise but goes in completely different directions. And Fight Club, I would put as one of them.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. I see you. I it's
Bruce
there.
Almighty.
Wait, what?
It's perfect.
Actually, that's an even better fit. But the movie.
What the fuck is this movie then? I'm sorry, but if that's not it, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck it is then. This was the scene. This is Jim Carrey typing the email.
Oh, I thought you were referencing something else. Maybe it'll make
sense.
No,
I'm going to keep on trucking. Hit me another clue.
All right.
Keep it vague.
Okay. This should give it
away. How did you perfectly describe three fucking movies, though? Tell me that doesn't fit all three of those films.
I'm trying to say it in a way where I do not completely give it away, and at this point it's getting really hard. Okay, let's try it this way. Okay, you ready? What is that? What is that? What am I looking at? Yes. Yes. Is that who I think it is?
This is Neo.
And you, okay. And the movie is?
Yeah.
The Matrix, yes.
The Matrix, yeah. I figured it out. I looked over at my shelf. I'm like, I have a Neo, and then I have a Agent Smith action figure up here. And I'm like, obviously, that's it.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So that literally kicked when you saw that there. Which reminds me, I need to get a Neo action figure.
Remind me, I need to also.
You think that's in the budget?
That's well, I already have.
You gonna run that by the wife first?
First off, yes.
I was like, wait a minute, you're gonna run that by the wife.
Oh, is that Agent Smith? Wait, what is the background? Is that supposed to be? Oh, okay,
Agent Smith.
Yeah. Man, I need to get a tour of your shelf space. Looks like there's a lot of cool trinkets.
Oh, there is. Trinkets galore.
You guys touch tips on your own fucking time, all right?
I thought that's what segment two was.
Touching tips.
Welcome to segment two of Know Your Cinema Podcast, Touching Tips.
I cannot believe we are having this conversation in the same episode that you review a kid's movie. That's 2021 won't allow this.
We should probably put a disclaimer at the beginning of segment two. Like, hey, this is for adults. You know what I mean?
This is the adult section.
Because I feel like the first part of the description was relatively wholesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll put it in the description of the episode.
Yes, please do.
Vulgar language in Vivian's voice.
Whoa, excuse me. Oh, man.
Put all the blame on you, buddy.
Can you imagine somebody listening to the first segment of this episode and this is their first introduction to this podcast? They're like, oh, this is really good. I think I get what the show is. All right, let me hear segment two.
Here we go. Touching tips.
What the fuck?
No.
Did anybody else have any other films?
Are we through all our
I think we ran through all of them.
I have one more, but I don't think it's worth going in. I don't think it's going to be as good.
Have fun with it. Get out there.
All right. I'm just going to throw it in there. If you get it, you get it. I think actually, Jason, both of you might get it. A father is getting in his retirement years, but the son is reluctant to or does not want to go into his family business, but gets forced into it through circumstances.
Dev, you know what this is? I know what it is.
Say the description again for me.
If a father is in his retirement years and his son does not want to take over the family business, does not want to do anything with the family business, but through circumstances ends up taking over the business.
You're talking about Tommy Boy?
Interesting. Definitely not.
No, but okay. That's a okay. I see how you got there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm clueless at this point.
Oh, should I give any more hints?
I think I'm 100% feel like I know where you're at.
I think I'm looking at you and I think, man, are we actually touching tips here? What's going on?
Yeah, this is a touching tips moment.
Oh boy. Okay.
But I think you should give it one more go in there. Give him one more little hint.
Is it Batman?
Interesting. No, again.
Wait, what?
I guess, technically,
you're right.
I mean, I'm thinking outside the box here.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you need to think a little bit more inside the box. This one, maybe all right, inside all right. The compound. So
I you know what? This will give it. Okay. The son always wanted to be legitimate. Always wanted to be legitimate. So he did everything in his life to become a proper person in society. But no matter how hard he tried, he eventually ends up having to become like his father, and worse.
Interesting. Still drawing a blank. I can see the blank on his face. He's not there yet. Okay. Interesting.
All right. Shall I go one step further?
I mean, at this point, just blurt it out.
I got you one.
Okay, go.
7 miles of daylight.
This is a Godfather.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's what was needed.
I mean, you got to understand, I love that movie. We all love that movie. But every time I see that scene, I laugh so hard. Because there is a foot of daylight in that punch. If that's the one flaw of that movie, that's it.
Yeah. If we ever create a book with our favorite lines from this podcast, 7 Miles of Daylight has to be in there.
That should just be the name of the book, Seven yeah. Miles of Daylight.
That's actually a good, that's a good title.
You know, there's stories of touching tips.
No, why did you go there?
Because it's not funny enough. It's got to be funny. Someone's going to pick up that book. They're going to be like, what the fuck is this?
Seven miles of daylight.
And other random stories of touching tips. What the
fuck? New stories of cinema and touching tips. What the fuck is this book?
I think I'm just going to name the episode Frozen and Touching Tips.
No, please don't.
I'm not going to, but it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Anyways, we got a little bit of time left here. Jason, do you have the Zaviel ready?
The veal.
You have the veal.
Bring out the veal.
I do.
I thought you guys were vegan.
No, I was saying like you.
I was saying it like a Frankensteinish,
like the Bride of Frankenstein from Young Frankenstein.
Okay. Here we are with the veal.
The veal.
Okay, on the wheel. For those of you tuning in for the first time, way to get here.
Yeah, congrats.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you made it this far, so
sorry about your day.
If you're in this far in the podcast and you haven't subscribed, you fucking owe it to yourself, because this is it right here. This is exactly what you paid for free. So anyway, we spin a giant circus style wheel, think Wheel of Fortune, only much larger, and on it are 10 spaces. 5 movies I have not seen, 5 movies Devlin has not seen. And of those movies, the wheel picks one of them, and then we review it the following week. The 5 movies that I have not seen that are on the wheel as follows: Harlem Nights, JFK, Machete, Top Gun, and Phantasm 2. The 5 movies that Devlin has not seen are The Truman Show, Gridiron Gang, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Trolls, and I am adding Moana. So without any further-ish ado-ish, let's spin that wheel and figure out what we're seeing next week. We are watching The Truman Show.
Oh, you guys are going to love that.
I've seen bits and pieces. I've just not seen the whole thing together. And if I have, I've completely blocked it out of my memory for some reason. But I don't think that I have. Like I said, I think I've caught bits and pieces of the movie.
I know for sure. Jim Carrey movie we've ever reviewed on here?
No. What we did Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yeah,
Grinch, yeah. It's surprising we haven't done more Jim Carrey movies.
I mean, I've seen all of most of Jim Carrey's comedy stuff. I've just not seen any of his serious work. Truman Show, The Majestic, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I have seen the number 23.
Oh, you have? Okay.
The soundtrack of that is just it for me. She Wants Revenge just kicks that soundtrack's ass.
Is it better than Freddy versus Jason?
Oh no, by no means. But it is.
I was like, wait a minute. Let's see where Jason stands on this soundtrack.
No, Freddy versus Jason might be the greatest soundtrack of all time.
It's true.
But She Wants Revenge kills that number 23 soundtrack.
All right, folks. Well, first off, before we get out of here, I want to thank Vivin for taking the time out of his day to come on. And again, we appreciate you having you. We love you. And again, big thank you from me to you for doing this again. Hope you come back on future episodes when we do some stuff we think that you will be a great asset to. Jason?
Thank you so much for coming on, hanging out with us again. Door's always open. Come back anytime.
All right. Thank you for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
All right, folks. Next week, Truman Show. Until then, I'm Devlin Clemens, and he is Jason Quinn, and we have Viv and Matthew here, and we like to end the show with our favorite sayings. Mine is for my best friend, and with everything going on in the world today, well, everything's a little bit scary, but today, all is right in the world.
And I always like to go out with my favorite movie quote that I live my life by, which is, never take life too seriously, because you'll never make it out alive.
All right, folks, next week, Truman Show. Goodbye.